Okay, good morning, everyone. Continuing on page Ayin Tes, Os Kuf Dalad. We're on number 104. You should have the new sheets and should have us all up to date here. Kuf Dalad. We're talking about taking Hashem with us in our mundane activities. So we started to talk about the not daily typical adventures, such as buying furniture and chairs and things like that. And now we move on to Kuf Dalid. Right now we're taking on the examples of tables and chairs. But one thing is clear, it's just an example. But the fundamental point here is, is that a person should not go to buy anything without any reflection before he starts. And everything he goes to buy, whether it's a makrer, it's a refrigerator, mechonas kvisa, washing machine, or on a closet or like drawers or whatever, etc., etc. He reflects well beforehand, as we explained. And he buys that piece of furniture together with Hashem. And not, God forbid, does he go by himself to buy the furniture. And that's the way a person should accustom himself to do every day of his life. That's the first thing he should accustom himself to. He shouldn't begin doing any big activities without reflecting on this belief that should precede it. Anyone who acts this way, anyone who acts this way, as we discussed, by reflecting before and during these activities, he will be able to acquire for himself, from every physical acquisition, a very great and rich spiritual acquisition. So therefore, all these activities can be very spiritual activities, these mundane things, if you do it in the right way. He'll be able to implant within himself through these acquisitions, through these physical acquisitions and ones that are similar to them, he'll be able to implant within himself a belief in the divine supervision very deeply into his heart. That's what's going to come out of this. Through the abundance of this reflection, next page, pay. Vahadibur bapeh mefurish bazeh, and explicitly expressing this, kivishabor aleel, as it's been clarified before, yushrish bekir bo hamuna hazaka vatahura bashkachas yisbrach, he will implant within himself a pure belief in God's divine supervision in his life. So, what he's saying in this page, he's saying it's through these mundane physical activities, this is how you acquire those spiritual acquisitions of belief in Hashem. It's in this very area. And he's going to really focus on this for the next couple paragraphs in a strong way. Kufei, adat osakne b'masim gedolim. Until now, we've been talking about big activities. Kekinin chafetzim gedolim, like when you're buying big things. Yisham velech, now, once you get used to that, from now on, once you get used to every time you're going to buy a big thing, you're used to thinking this way. So now the next stage is, so now you've got to accustom yourself literally, even for the smallest of things that you go and buy. Let's give an example. You're going to buy things in honor of the Shabbos. You need to buy food for Shabbos. It's Friday afternoon, Thursday, whatever. You're buying the stuff for Shabbos. How much belief can a person acquire for himself in this activity of buying the food for Shabbos? Lamashal, for example, Okay, now we're going to all have a new appreciation for going to Sobeys now. Right? As much as some people may dread going to Sobeys, now it's going to be mamish, a lesson in spiritual exercise. Okay, let's go. Adam Aymed Lahaishides Yadov Alitol Chavilas Itrius Min Hamadaf. A person is standing, reaching to get a package of noodles from the shelf. Okay, you need noodles for your chicken soup, chveis. You need noodles. If it wouldn't be for Shabbos, for your lasagna, right? It's not really a Shabbos food, but it could be a weekday food too. But anyway, you're going to get a package of noodles. You just don't take the noodles, right? Whom he spun in Basma, he reflects, and he says, on the shelf are dozens of packages of noodles. Why is this package coming to me and not another one? There's a dozen different brands of noodles. And then even in the brand you're looking for, even in Mrs. Weiss's noodles, whoever makes noodles now, you're buying the Yosha noodles, so you're buying the Unico noodles, whatever. And so there's 25 of the same package. So why am I taking this package? Ein zois ela kikach ata gazarta bimeduyek misiba kemusa venelemes imodcha. It can only be that you have decreed for me specifically the exact package I should get for reasons that are only known to you. Shadavka mamish chavila zu tagia liyodav lacher. Shadavka, this package should come to my hands and not another package should come to me. That's how much you should realize Hashem is involved in the choices here. Hapratim Rabim, there's a lot of details that you could go through in this. You know, it could be God wants this company to do well, and you're going to be one of the people to buy this package. For whatever the reasons that are involved in this particular package. Ulam ha-yesoid echad, but the fundamental point is the same. Alo odom lahargalas atza b'chol prat uprat shekoina. A person has to get used to every detail in what he buys. To implant within himself the belief in divine supervision, as we have explained. From one purchase in the store, like this, a person can acquire a great acquisition and belief in Hashem. From one package of noodles. If you really will think about these noodles, and that, you know, all the details that were involved in making these noodles, and all the different noodles that are there, and why did you pick that noodles? And it's you wanted me to have those noodles. That's, you can get a lot from that. So you can imagine buying so much in the store. You're buying 50, 60 things. If you can focus that way the whole time, it's unbelievable. Kol shekein, all the more so, im yasi maliba, if one places upon his heart, v'yagal asam zev bitmidus, if you can consistently think that way, ozayushra shamuna baliba heitevet, you will implant in yourself a very, very strong belief in Hashem in your heart. Tzorchli hisraga lichios kach, a person has to get accustomed to living this way, v'lischos alideza likinyan ruchan niskavenor, and merit thereby a very lofty spiritual acquisition. Kinyan shalamuna tahora bo yisprach uvahanagaso, an acquisition of belief, a pure belief in Hashem, and a belief in His supervision over your life. Kach al adam lahargalas asa b'chol laifanim l'orech kal yom, and that's how a person has to accustom himself in all areas throughout the day. Kigon, for example, shioshev lecho lechem, you're about to eat bread. Yisbonen kinyiskel, you should figure in the same way. Shadavka prusa zuhi giliade, that davka this piece came to me, and not another one. Frainet, you're cutting the challah. You know, there's a lot of challah in front of you, but the ultimate piece that you cut goes to you. Why is that piece going to you? There's not a lot of thought going on. When you cut the challah, you cut from the right side, cut from the left side, you can turn the challah this way, that way. Challah gets moved around. You cut yourself a slice here, another slice there. You give your wife one, you take the other. Why is this one coming? Why is that one coming? It's all the same thing. And the water that you wash your hands with, and the mayim that you drink, Yisbanin to reflect Shakol Higia Liyadov Bidavka Bashkocha Pratis Mamish Mizbrach, that everything came to your hands Davka with that divine supervision from Hashem. Throughout the day, Hashem is selecting all these things for you. Kufav. Bor HaDover, it's obvious. She Efshal Adam Lisbanim B'chol HaPratim B'chol Pam V'Pam. I understand it's not going to be possible, certainly in the beginning, to stop and think over every single detail throughout the day. Ulama Avodas Adam Liklat B'Nafshu Kol Pam Od Prat V'Od Prat. But at least through the day, a person's service should try to absorb in his soul every time a little bit. Oh, he's not payoff. Oh, he's stockless. Oh, he's stockless. A little reflection here, a little reflection there. Zir sham, zir shop, zir po, zir sham. A little here, a little there. Ada sheyikba dvarim liba. Until this thing gets established in your heart. So, you know, you don't have to go. You're going to Sobeys, you're making 60 purchases. You're not going to sit on every purchase and think this way initially. Eventually, you will. Eventually, you will with every purchase. But start it off, you know, a little here, a little there. Yisod HaDvarim, the fundamental point that he's repeating over and over. Shadam Tzarech Lotzeis Mistaklis HaShitchiyas. People have to get out of this superficial way of looking at life. Shiroim Es Yad Hashem Vashkoch HaSorak B'Dvarim Nisim. Where we only see God's divine hand only in miraculous events. And things that are way beyond and different than the normal natural course of events. We have to get out of that looking. A person has to see Hashem in every single detail. And especially the smallest of all. Even if it looks totally normal and natural. You got to get out of that view. And Tzarech Lahavin, you have to understand, it's not an aspect of relating the wondrous things, the wondrous stories. But this is the life soul of a person. To live with a purified belief all the days of his life. What he's saying over here is that, you know, there's different things that happen in our lives. You know, we talk a lot at Shalosh Shudos about stories of inspiration. And, you know, at a certain time in our spiritual growth, that's a good thing. But as time passes, we should move away from that kind of talk. And move on to a deeper understanding of life. In other words, you know, we talk about these stories. It was Bashert that I made this decision and look what happened and Hashem helped me and this amazing thing happened. You see really miraculous events that happen. Go, wow, that must be Hashem. So what he's saying over here is, okay, that's fine, but that's still only a superficial way of looking at life. Now there are those who don't even look at life that way. There are secular Jews who could see miracles happening in Eretz Yisrael and say it's normal. Okay, so we're on a level when we say Mamish it's Hashem. So that's good for a start. But you got to realize that too is a very superficial way of looking at life. And the truth is that these things will generally not change a Jew for the better. You know, this concept of loud expressions of Hashem's presence doesn't really make you into a servant of Hashem as much as you think it could. The Medrash tells us that when the Jewish people were walking through the Sea of Reeds, can't get more miraculous than that. The Medrash says there are people as they were walking through, they're complaining to God that their shoes were getting muddy. Okay? You know, can you imagine? You're going through the Sea of Reeds, all the miracles, and my designer shoes are muddy. You know, my sandals are muddy. And these were people who complained, you know. So miracles are happening in front of you and it's not changing you. So, you know, inspiring stories are okay for a boost. You know, you're a little bit down, you want to get a boost. But it's not the way to conduct your life, going from miraculous event to miraculous event. And when the miracle happens, Now I feel connected to Hashem. You know, because number one, they don't happen that often. And they're not strong enough to carry you all the way across till the next event happens. Rather, our motto, our theme of life is, as we say in the Modim prayer, we say, Val nisecha shebechol yom imanu, and for the miracles that are with us every day. The miraculous things that are every day, those are the things that really have to keep us going. And Rav Kook, when he would analyze the pasuk of David HaMelech, it says, Ma godlu masecha Hashem. How great are your actions, Hashem? You know, in other words, you know, people can look at things and say, wow, who can make the Grand Canyon? Who can do this? Who can that? Mamish, I can tell there's Hashem in this world. So Rav Kook says that's true, but what inspired him more than looking at the Grand Canyon was he would coin his own phrase, Ma koton masech Hashem. How small are the actions of Hashem? In other words, you know, you can get blown away by the Grand Canyon, but you know what? If you can get blown away by looking at one atom. Look at one atom.
Can't see an atom.
You know, look at under a special microscope, whatever it is. Get blown away. The intricacy in the smallest of things. Right, you look at an amoeba, you look at an ant, you look at such a small thing, such a sophisticated system. For such a small, there's the smallest thing has so much intricacy and so much detail. You know, more detail than a computer chip. You know, and how God's signature is on every little detail of life. Nothing has gone by God's eyes that He hasn't mamish put His imprint on it. You know. So that's when you're living with Hashem all the time. See, the point is, you don't live with Hashem from explosion to explosion. You live with it. The real trick is to live with Him and to be blown away at the littlest thing. The mamish littlest thing gets you all excited. And then you move from time to time to time to time to time. That's really the whole story of Hanukkah. That's all story of Hanukkah. You know, where miraculous events happened, but they were clothed in the natural. They were clothed in the natural. The whole idea, the Jewish people won the war against the Greeks. You could say, okay, it's amazing warriors. They were good fighters. They got a new shtick, guerrilla warfare. Ah, now we can explain how they won the war. It's unbelievable that great general was Yehuda Maccabee, right? So, and you could go through the whole stories of the Maccabees and how they defeated the Greeks, and you could tell yourself it was great military tacticians. But then at the end of the day, Hashem does the miracle that the candles light for 8 days. What's Hashem trying to show you with that? To show you, when the candles light, then I got your attention. Now I got you. What about all the other things that happened? These other relatively natural things that happen. I should be getting your attention with that as well. And that's what the Jewish people needed to learn through Hanukkah, that every mundane activity is a miraculous event and has God's total involvement. And that's what's critical to nurturing this relationship with Hashem. You can't say, oh, when you show me something, Hashem, then you got my attention, I get amazed by you. So, okay, you know, it's good. Listen, there's some people who aren't amazed by anything. So there is merit in there. There's a reason why we wanted at every Shalosh Shudos to talk about inspiring stories. Because you got to start from not being inspired at all by anything Hashem does to get His attention, to get your attention. So you talk about an inspiring story and it moves people a little bit. But it isn't going to change people. It's a start. But the real inspiring things have to be from the very mundane, quote unquote, boring types of things. Those are the things that you really have to feel that Hashem is there in each and every one of those occasions. And that's what really makes the relationship an exciting relationship throughout the time. And you know, these are the same things that translate itself in the everyday relationships we have with people. And that's why a lot of relationships tend to sour. Because we're always looking for amazing things. He bought me flowers. He did this. He did that. Wasn't that so thoughtful of him? Those things that are out of the ordinary. The things that catch our attention. And those are the things that get us excited. And now we're going to have a romantic evening. We're going to a fancy restaurant. We're having a getaway and all those things. And we live from romantic moment to romantic moment, the few and far in between. But the truth of the matter is, so that's really, you know, that's not enough. In a relationship, it's those quote-unquote boring, mundane activities that have to catch our attention all the time. So your wife is making supper on Wednesday night, so, you know, it's meatloaf. You know, can't get too excited about meatloaf, right? You know, but you got to get excited for, you know, you got to really feel that, you know what? My wife is she's so considerate of me, and this little shtickle meatloaf represents so much love and affection and kindness, and you know, although she's made 55 meatloafs before, you know, and it's every Wednesday night is meatloaf, you know, but listen, what if she wasn't doing it? She could turn around and say, I'm not interested in making your stinking meatloaf. You know, it gets to a point where it's boring. It's the same shtick. But you know, but she puts in that love into that meatloaf. She's thinking about you in this. It's you know, you got to look at that meatloaf in a different way. You got to look at that mundane activity. She gets something from the cleaners from you. Of course, she gets things from the cleaners. She's always supposed to get things from the cleaners from you. You know, that's when the relationships turn sour. And they say, you know, we got to do something to spice up our relationship. You don't need anything to spice up your relationships. It's you know, it's unfortunate if when it comes to that point. That you need to do those things. What do you think? The Jews who lived 100 years ago, they didn't have these exciting romantic getaway cruises or things like that. Or a weekend away at the ski resort, whatever. That'll warm things up. I'm not saying you shouldn't do those things if the marriage is deteriorating. There's a time and a place for it. And in other words, when you're so busy for 2-3 months where you can't even notice what your wife or husband is doing, you're taking it all for granted, then yeah, you got to do it. Because it's like you need that inspiring story about Hashem, that knockout story of Hashkacha Pratis. I got to remember there's Hashem. And you got to remember that you got a wife. You got a wife who loves you. But that's already, as we say, last resorts. Things have gone too far and too out of hand if you have to get there. Again, I'm not saying you shouldn't do it. But I'm saying there's a lot better things you should be doing many steps beforehand that you don't feel that's what you need to keep things going. You know, and the truth of the matter is, you know, it's because, you know, and I'm not criticizing anybody. Like, don't think, I'm just saying, you're seeing from the way the tzaddik is talking here in our relationship with Hashem, this is the kind of things that we have to be working, don't you think we have to work with this way with people that we love? Do you think it's any different? It doesn't really, I mean, of course, God is unbelievably greater than anyone we can love. And God is unbelievably, has much more love than anyone that can love us. But it's a paradigm model. It's a paradigm model to look beneath the surface and to look a lot deeper than what's going on. Every day, it's the same routine, right? Wife gets up, you get up, you go to work, she does the laundry, she does this, blah, blah, blah. And all these things. And then what happens? We take each other for granted. We take it for granted. You go week in, week out, week in, week out. So now we have to come up with ideas so we don't take each other for granted. That's good. That's good that you're doing it. You're not going to let it deteriorate. You have marriages that go on for months on end and they just take each other for granted. The relationship gets worse and worse and worse. So you say, okay, you know, every Wednesday night is going to be date night. So you won't take the relationship for granted. That's a good thing for the level that you're at in a relationship. But you should know you're very far away from the way a relationship should be. And this is not to insult anyone, not to say nobody knows how to have a relationship, but it's only an outgrowth of the fact that we don't have a relationship with Hashem, the way that Tzaddik is talking. So that's why our relationships with people are almost the same way. It's not going to be any different. If you don't think about Hashem all the time, let's be honest, how often are you going to think about your spouse? Maybe a little more, but not as deeply. You know, not as deeply, and to think, you know, about just like there's a Hashem who cares about you. So okay, not on the same level, but on a level, there's a spouse who really cares about you, and to really remember why did you get married, and what's the tachlis of getting married, and the goal of getting married is that through, like we said on Shabbos, is that through the relationship you committing yourself to someone, and someone is committing themselves to you, and you should be remembering that all the time. And if you remember that in the small things, a husband has to be able to look at meatloaf and be amazed. He has to be amazed by the meatloaf. And the truth is, there's a lot to be amazed by the meatloaf. And you'd stop and think for a little bit what went on to make that meatloaf. You have a big thanks to make with that mundane meatloaf. You know? Only if she burns the meatloaf. Ah, then you notice. Ah, all of a sudden, now you caught your attention. What's the matter with the meatloaf this weekend? If you made a crummy meatloaf like this, if it doesn't taste good, or if it's outstandingly, unusually great, you notice the meatloaf. What is this, the regular meatloaf? Do you realize how much effort it took for your wife to make the meatloaf? Right? First, she had to shop for the chopped meat. She had to go to Sobeys. She had to get in line. She had to schlep it takes an hour to go shopping, whatever it takes. That's not exactly the funnest activity. Right? And then to schlep it, you know, like I said, the mundaneness of shopping, you know, putting all the stuff in the carriage just to take it out of the carriage, to be able to check it out, just to put it back into the carriage, to take it out. Just to be able to take it out of the carriage, put it into the car. Just to take it out of the car, to put it into the house. And take it out of the hallway and put it into the kitchen. From the kitchen into the cupboards, and then from the cupboards, then to take it out when you have to use it. Do you ever think how mundane and crazy that is? And your wife does that every day. Your wife does that every day. It's like eight movements of... Of course, Hashem. Hashem is... But it's your wife is still making that effort. Still making that effort. And at the end of the day, she's making it for you. She's making it... But your wife is making the free will choice to choose to shop for you. Remember, that's the Yiras Shamayim decision. You could choose to be, you have wives who are trophy wives who choose to do nothing. Just to make themselves look adorable. And that's it. And, you know, leave the shopping to somebody else. Or, you know, the trophy wife who just orders in. Right? You know, so there is, Hashem is making the choices, but she is choosing to go shopping. She did choose to go to Sobeys. She's choosing to go through the laborious task, the mundane task, and to go through all those activities to make sure that you got some meatloaf on the table.
And that's a Yerushalayim.
What?
And that's a Yerushalayim decision.
The fact that a wife decides to cook dinner for her husband is a Yerushalayim decision. It's to show that she loves her husband. If she doesn't love her husband, she'll choose to do other things. You have wives who don't prepare meals. Right? Okay, then you can. Now, there's different levels here. There's all kinds of levels. I don't want to get into, you know, you could have the wife who just goes through life without thinking also. You have the husband who goes through life without thinking, right? But even if you got to understand, at least understand the effort she's making for you. At least appreciate the effort she's making for you. And she is focusing on making you happy as much as you may not realize. And sometimes the wife doesn't even realize it. But somebody has to start realizing things. You know, believe me, if a husband would make a big deal over a meatloaf, it would do a lot to add to the romance in the relationship. I guarantee you. If every day the husband says, Mom, this just was an amazing meal. I appreciate everything that you did. You say, every day, if you do that, a husband did that every day, you wouldn't have to take her to a winter retreat. You know, to rekindle the sparks. You can keep the sparks going nonstop. You know, but society doesn't bring romance out of meatloaf. Because there's not a lot of money to be made in it. But if it's a cruise where you can spend thousands of dollars and someone's got some money to make, all of a sudden it's going to become romantic. Right? So what I'm saying is there are the things you can do within the daily routines of boring married life to not make it so boring and to appreciate and see the love that is there. And to see a wife's hashkacha over the home. There's a wife's hashkacha pratis over the home too. She's choosing to make sure that everything is just right in the house. Right? She's choosing that. Then Hashem steps in and does the rest. But she's choosing that she wants the house to be a pleasant place for you to live in. and to appreciate it's a warm and comforting atmosphere and all those things that you take for granted that happen every day that are not outstanding and spectacular. But that's what really makes up a marriage. And if you really would think about this, you come in smiling so happy, you wouldn't feel that your wife ignores you and this and that, you know. You'd realize, but you gotta, what's the problem? No communication, no thing. It's the same thing. The problem with our relationship with Hashem is the exact problem with our relationships with our spouses. How often do we think about how much our spouses do for us? How much does the wife think about how hard it is for the husband to go out and work every day? Right? It is not a picnic. For the husband has to get up, Nebuch has to get up. Like all you guys that are getting up at 5:30 to be able, first of all, to learn Torah before you go out to work. Number one, the wife should say, "Mamish, I have such a tzaddik for husbands." Forget about Parnassi. He's got a tzaddik. Your husband's a tzaddik. He's coming to learn. He learns while everybody else is sleeping. It means he cares about his neshama. He cares about the spirituality of the house. You know, and okay, and maybe when he gets up, it might be a little noisy and wakes you up a little bit in the morning. Because his, you know, you get to sleep until 6:30, and he's up at 5:30. But when you're hearing the alarm, to be, "Oh, mamish, what a tzaddik! He's mamish. It's, I know how tired he must be because I'm not out of bed yet, right?" And to appreciate that he's learning Torah, and to appreciate that he's going to daven, and to appreciate he has to go through rush hour traffic for an hour, and appreciate he has to mamish deal with goyim all day long, and it's such a prust world, and it's such a disgusting world, and it's you know, all these things, just so he could bring home money to bring food on the table and to shelter the home, to take care of everybody, you know. But he does it every day. He does it every day. He does it so consistently, so, you know, he's boring. You know, the fact that he does it every day, day in, day out, you know, and every day the checks come in, it's a big deal. It is a big deal. We minimize that big deal that it is. And some wives say, "How come you're not making more money?" Right? So the husband's not appreciated. You know, if the wife would just think for 10 minutes in the day how hard her husband has to work.
She'll thank him.
And how difficult it is. Right? And then he finally comes home at 6, 7, 8 o'clock. Instead of saying, you know, "Why are you so late, dear? Why are you this? Why are you that?" You come and say, "Dear, I know you had such a hard day. You had mom such a hard day. Here, come on, sit down. I have a drink ready for you. Take a rest for a little bit." You know, it makes, but then at the same time, the husband's thinking about his wife. "Oh, hey, mama, she has such a hard day with the three kids, and they're little, and she has to take them to the carpool, and she has to do all this shopping, and she has to do this and that." You know, if they would both be thinking about it and saying it and expressing it and then just telling it to each other. You don't have to say, "Oh dear, your lips are ruby red and you're this and you're that." Snarishkeit. Snarishkeit. Just say, I appreciate what you do every day. Every day I appreciate it again. I appreciate it. Believe me, no wife is bored hearing the same compliment. You know, "I was just thinking about you today, and I was running. I know today is Wednesday, and I know that's when you do your shopping for Shabbos, and I know that it's not easy to go to Sobeys, and then you go to No Frills, and No Frills, you know, you have to find your own bags, and you're going there because it's a little cheaper, and you want to help with the budget. You know, I appreciate it so much." You know, and then Thursday you're making the whatever. Every day, like to be, if the wife knows that the husband's thinking what the wife's doing that day of the week, that shows he's thinking about me. That's all that that means you care about the person. And the wife does the same with the husband. And this is little boring things of life. But there's a lot of love in those little boring things. And if we would spend time doing that, you know, you wouldn't feel the need that you have to go on a romantic getaway. Because the romance is throughout the relationship in the mundane aspects of life. Not to say you're going to be exhausted and tired, and you're entitled to vacation. You have to rest up. Right? But that's what he's telling us over. That's the kind of things that have to be happening. So it's not just with Hashem, but it's with everybody else in our lives. So to get excited over the little things are amazing things as well. All right. So let's go back inside. So im adam noe, okay, we're at the end now over there. If a person conducts himself this way, he can reach very high levels of attachment to Hashem. Ubitnai, but remember the condition. You have to fulfill the earlier conditions. We can't start at this point. We're halfway, more than halfway through the book now. You first got to remember that there's Hashem. Remember back to chapter 2. Got to keep remembering there's Hashem. Keep remembering there's Hashem. Keep remembering Hashem. That's step one. And then the next section. That there is a creator and that you are creating. To go through that part. Right? And then we focus on the Hashkach of Hashem. Right? It's the same thing. You got to keep doing it all. And you keep going. You'll find success. Now he concludes this section over here, so to speak. Novin, so let's understand. Haderech sha'anu dorchamo, the path that we are treading upon, hiderech pshuta, it's a simple path of opinimis mod, but at the same time very deep. It's a simplistically deep path. And a yetzahara yachal l'shatus bottom, and the yetzahara will try to fool you when you're on this path. And you're going to be thinking, Shizel divrei shtus utumis. This whole talk is nonsense and naivete. Not crazy. I'm going to start talking to Hashem. He's picking the noodles over here. Drain me a cup that this noodles is that. That's ridiculous already. You know, Hashem's not that involved. Forget about it. You're making a mountain out of a molehill. Right? Ulamish zoich letumis kedusha. But a person who merits to this holy wholesomeness. In other words, the person's unencumbered with anything that is superficial or external. A person like that, Yasig Vyargish as Amitius Advarm, he will apprehend and he will feel the truth of these words. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nikra Kel Mistater. The mystics call Hashem the Kel Mistater, the hidden God. So the question is, Heichanu Mistater, where does God hide? Believe Shalom in the heart of every person. And it's the job of a person to reveal the godliness that's in his heart. This comes through the simplistic wholesomeness of holiness. If a person's got some brains, he can reveal Hashem from every detail of creation, and to remove the hiddenness from his heart. So you don't require... There's no requirement to see spectacular events of dramatic hashkacha pratis, of divine supervision, in order to appreciate Hashem. You can appreciate Hashem in every single thing. Now, when we go to Kuf Zion, we take a great shift here, and now we are going to see the pragmatic benefits of this program and the litmus test to know if you are succeeding in this program. So right now it's like, okay, you know, what have I got to gain from this? So now he's going to spend many, many pages going through, dramatically showing what are the benefits of such a program. And here's where he comes back all the way to the beginning of the book. In the beginning of the book he said, you know, when we work on our Avodas Hashem, we ask ourselves, where should I start? Should I start on my Lashon Hara? Should I start on this? Should I start on that? And what did he say long ago? Now you don't just start from anywhere. There's an edifice, a structure that we're building. See, the tzaddik has built us a structure now. We got to understand, you know, you can't have any relationship with anyone you don't know. You got to start talking about Hashem, talking about a creator, talking about created, talking about Hashem's supervision, and to reflect on that in the little objects. There's a whole process that's going on here. If we've gone through this process, now this will take a couple of years to get this done seriously. So what are going to be the benefits of this program? So he's going to begin to describe it, and though he's going to pick one thing as an example, but many things can be an example for this. La'achar Kuf Zayin. Now you notice there's two Kuf Zayins here. When I was typing up the notes, I was looking at myself. I automatically typed in Kuf Ches, but you notice I put in 107A, 107B. He didn't do it. I'm sure it was a typo for him, whatever. But la'acha shebirarnu keitzad ha'odam mashish b'kirvas amuna pshuta v'atahara b'nagas yishbar shmo. After a person has clarified himself, how he can implant inside himself this simple faith, this pure and simple faith of God's divine supervision. Atanira keitzad kviyas aminazu b'libash ha'odam tzricha la'achlish esmidas kaso. Now we will see how establishing this faith in the heart of a person must... If you do this properly, what has to happen is that measure of anger inside of you will have to be weakened. Your kas must be weakened. You must be a less angry person if you're in this program. And he's just picking anger, but it could be a lot of things. You have to be less of a jealous person, less of a lazy person. All those negative characteristics that you want to work on. They've made all those commitments on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and have failed every time. You're going to see why you've been failing every time. It's because you don't have the structure. Uba emes, shemidas hakas, hukne mida l'adam. The measurement of anger that a person has is a measuring gauge for a person. Shal yaro nitan livdak ad kama kone ha'adam esamuna v'ashkocha saprati shal bar yisprach shmo. That's how you'll be able to measure. How much belief in God's supervision have you acquired in your life? That is the measuring tool. Shekachol shekona adam esamuna v'ashkocha saprach shmo, to the degree that a person has acquired belief in God's supervision, kein holech v'nechlesh kasu shal adam. So therefore, to that degree, a person's anger will get weakened and weakened and weakened and less and less and less. And to the degree that a person is far away from this belief, kein gadol kaso. That's how much stronger his anger will get. In the brackets, it says, except for the inborn anger that we have. Everybody is born with a certain temperament. Some people are born a little more prone to anger than others. That's, God did that already. But from that point on, you were born with a big temper. Naturally temper. But if you work on this belief in Hashem, the temper will go down. And people who may not have had such a high temper, but, you know, they don't see God in their lives, the temper level is not going to go down. So you can't fool yourself in this program. You'll know if this program is working. And he's going to say, if you started 2 years ago in this program and you got angry 3 times a day, let's say, and you're still getting angry 3 times a day, you know one thing, you failed in this program. And he'll explain in great detail how anger is part of all this, and not what do we do to stop getting angry, he's going to say. All these anger management programs are narishkeit, he's going to tell us. What it has to be is Ashkocha Pratis program. When you learn to see God in every little thing, you're just not going to get angry. It's not a question of how do I deal with my anger flaring up. You're going to see the anger won't flare up. And how that's a result of this, Mirtz Hashem, we're going to discuss tomorrow. Mirtz Hashem.